This morning, we are very glad to have David and Martha Mackember here. They asked me to come to the Philippines a few years ago. I believe it was 2003 that I went out to the Philippines and spoke to the field conference. David and Martha have been in the Philippines since 1992, 15 years of ministry there. And David has been field director now for some years. I don't know how. 4 years he's been field director, so that's another additional responsibility. David and Martha are very engaged in educational ministries, and they're going to be telling us about it. So we're so glad they're here this morning. Brother?
Thank you. It's a treat to be back in Oneonta again, and your beautiful area of New York State, and such a warm-hearted church in more than one way, Pastor. I've already changed my shirt once this morning for short-sleeved and left my coat there. And if it was in the Philippines, Gary, I would take off my necktie. I really think choke collars are meant for dogs and not for humans, right? And as far as Christmas is concerned, this is September. So in the Philippines, we call it the bear months. September, October, November, December. So they're already celebrating Christmas. Christmas music will be heard on the radio in the Philippines because it's the bear months. So you can ask Edna Wyckoff about that to get more understanding of Christmas in the Philippines. And we would thank you in advance for your offering and whatever you're able to share with us. It's always a blessing at the Christmas season. And, of course, most of all, we're here just to thank you for your prayers and your faithful support, very generous support, in fact, for us, for the Lord's work in the Philippines, and hopefully in these few moments to at least give you some highlights. We live in New Hampshire while we're home, another beautiful state, and we're here until January, Lord willing, perhaps a bit longer, and then returning to the Philippines at that time. We have three daughters who are now grown, and you can ask my wife or myself about them sometime. We do have a display downstairs in the cafe, and I'm sure that you'll find us down there after the service. I have a lot to compress in this amount of time, so put on your seat belts and get ready. I'd like to share something from the Word of God. This is a preaching service, and I always need to think for myself in terms of a biblical basis for what we're doing. I can't function without that, and I'm going to share something from the Scriptures. When I was single, after graduating from college, living at home for a few years, my mom, my dad is a pastor. My mom and dad were very godly parents. In fact, my dad is still around. We're living with him in New Hampshire. She shared a verse from the Gospel of Luke when just before Peter denied the Lord, you might remember that Jesus, in a sense, warned him about that. And he said to him, "Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat." This is Luke 24, 22. "But I have prayed for you," Jesus said, "that your faith will not fail, and that when you have turned again, when you have been restored, strengthen your brothers." Strengthen your brothers. Somehow, that statement by my mom seemed to be prophetic, although I didn't understand that at the time, that God had plans for me. I never wanted to be a pastor. I'm sure Gary may have had that sense at one time or another, or some of you others. But the Lord has His plans for us, and it turned out that that was the kind of ministry that the Lord was preparing me for. My first church, our first church in Arizona, was a church that could have been as big as this, but it dwindled down to just a handful of people, and it was a challenging ministry for the Lord to strengthen His people and restore that work. And the same thing happened in Maine in another church that the Lord allowed me to pastor for a few years. And then the Lord, for some reason, known only to Him, called us to the Philippines through a ministry of working with Filipino pastors and church leaders, primarily, to strengthen them, to train them, to develop them, to help them become what God wants them to be as pastors. And that's a very vital part of missionary work. And I'm here this morning to encourage you in the value of education and training and development of national pastors. For the church is not able to really function without that. And so that's what somehow got us started on this pathway. I'd like to share with you two scenarios, one from Scripture, from the book of Acts, chapter 11. If you have your Bibles and would like to look with me. And then another scenario from Acts 29, which is not in your Bible. So, first of all, it's the story of the church at Antioch. Now, there are three main churches in the book of Acts, as you know, Jerusalem, and then Antioch, which was up the coast beyond Palestine into what is now Syria. There's another Antioch way up in Turkey, but this one is different. And then there's, of course, the story of the church at Ephesus later on in the book. The story of the church at Antioch really begins with Acts 1:8, when Jesus said to his disciples, if you remember, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you're going to be my witnesses, not only in Jerusalem, but even to the uttermost parts, the most remote nations of the world. And that ministry began on the day of Pentecost when some of those people came to Jerusalem from these remote places to celebrate Pentecost. And so we see even the Jerusalem church began as an international church with all of these peoples gathered together. But then they were scattered by persecution, as you know, and the gospel began to be spread in other areas surrounding Jerusalem, Samaria, and finally in this chapter, chapter 11, all the way up the coast to Antioch, which was a Gentile community. The missionaries there were actually ordinary people. And the story opens up in verse 19 and 20. Verse 20, there were some men from Cyprus and Cyrene from off the coast out in the Mediterranean who came to this town, ordinary people like all of us this morning, not seminary trained, but just sharing their faith, their newfound faith in Christ. And the Lord was with them, verse 21, and many got saved. And this is what missionary work is going to the nations of the world and preaching the gospel so that people have a chance to respond and be born again into the family of God through Jesus Christ. But that wasn't all that happened here, and that's why this account is significant in Scripture. Because the next thing that happened, as you see in verse 22 and 23, they sent off for Barnabas, one of the apostles down in Jerusalem, who had remained behind during that persecution, and they requested him to come, and he began to teach them. And you recall that the Great Commission that Jesus gave has that instruction, that exhortation, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And so here it is in this verse. And then Barnabas sends off for Saul, whom you know had been recently converted, born again into God's family. In verse 26, brings him also, and for an entire year they taught the church. And so the name of this church was the First Christian Church of Antioch. So there you have it. It's God's plan for the church, that the church be a place of evangelism and a place of edification. Those two main functions. And we never lose track. We always have a roadmap. We always have a plan. So whatever is God's plan for your church is also our plan, his plan rather, for the Church of the Philippines. It must be both reaching Filipinos for Christ and then strengthening them, strengthening God's people, and especially his pastors in the local churches of the Philippines. There's a little bit more to this story. I'll just hastily mention it. But these people in the Antioch church at the end of the chapter had a vision beyond Jerusalem or beyond Antioch, because you see here that they sent a gift for the famine-stricken church, and so it back in Jerusalem. So part of God's plan, the evidence of a growing church, is a vision beyond one's own perimeters into other areas. And then, very quickly, into chapter 13, Still have your seatbelt on? Chapter 13, we see that something else had been happening. The church had been growing because there was now good leadership in the church. And we find here at the beginning of this chapter that there were prophets and teachers in the church, including Saul and Barnabas, but others, and you can see the nationalities represented by their names. And so out of these, so one thing for sure had been happening, some kind of training and development of the leadership had been going on, although the details are not reported to us. And then the final picture of this is that out of that growth of the church, that God had in mind that some would go cross-cultural. And actually, the unique thing, the interesting thing about this account is that they were chosen from the leadership of the church. That's an interesting thing. It was at the age of 44, while in the pastorate, that the Lord called us and gave us the opportunity to go overseas to serve Him. So beware if you're 44 years old this morning. Now, one final picture, and then I want to share with you the next scenario from Acts 29. The final part is in chapter 14, the end of chapter 14, in which, beginning around verse 21, the Apostle Paul and his teammates reversed their direction, as you know, on their first missionary tour, went back through the churches which they had started, and they appointed elders in those churches, verse 23. So again, we see God emphasizing the importance of biblical leadership for His churches. To the extent that the Apostle Paul did this, the church planting, the Great Commission, could not be fully completed without that. And then verse 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples. I didn't say at the beginning of my message, but I'd like to just insert it at this point. If you would look up the word strength or strengthen in your concordance, you would find a couple of pages on that, and it would be a tremendous inspiration to you to start looking at some of the verses to see how God values His ministry of strengthening us and how He does it through one another and through the church. It's a great word used throughout Scripture. And so here you see it. And then finally, at the end of the chapter, verse 27, they went back to Antioch to report. Sadly, today, we as missionaries have more than one church that supports us, and so we can't spend our whole furlough time in one church. And so we're more limited. But when we get to heaven, we'll have time to catch up on all that. But that's all part of it. So there you have it. And you might recall that in Ephesians chapter 4, which I don't have time to go into this morning, but God's pattern for the church is given there, that Christ has gifted pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the building up of the body of Christ. And so what we do here on the home front in our churches is exactly the same as what we do on the mission field. It's all part of God's pattern, His model for the church. And it's good to be back here and sense how God is strengthening and building up your church and has been for, well, now 152 years, 51 years, am I correct? if I count back from the date you gave earlier. So praise the Lord for that. So that's the first scenario. That's the biblical basis that we function from, and I trust it will help give you confidence also. The second scenario is the Church of the Philippines, which is not in your Bible. You don't have Acts 29. But it's the contemporary church that God is building overseas in our particular country where we serve. We have now, in our conservative Baptist movement, and that's just our movement, we have many other church groups in the Philippines, but in our particular movement, we have about 450 churches. We're just a little over 50 years old. Our movement started back in the mid-1950s with a missionary not too far from this area, Bill Simons from Pennsylvania, who went to China with his family. It was the end of the war, and the communists were taking over in China. And because of that, after finishing their language training, they had to leave China, actually. And the Lord led them to the Philippines, and they were our first full-time missionary church planters in the Philippines. more than 50 years later, we now have what I feel is one of the strongest associations of churches of any of our mission fields, our Conservative Baptist Association of the Philippines, of all of these churches. We have all of our leadership of the national movement, our national Filipinos. We as missionaries are there to simply assist and partner with them. The difficulty that we struggle with is that many of our churches are so small, there is so much poverty. Many churches, perhaps more than half of them, have either no pastor or pastors without theological education or any formal training. And in many cases, pastors who haven't even finished high school. They might be farmers. So we have a long ways to go, as you could imagine, to bring our churches in the Philippines up to the picture that God has of strong, developing churches. That is His plan, it's seen in Scripture. We have a long ways to go. We do have a Bible college, and I've been teaching over the years in the college, not so much lately because of my other responsibilities. And we have a good trained national director for the school. So that's a good thing. We are able to train our own pastors in our own school. However, the school has no campus. The students study without textbooks because they can't afford to buy textbooks. There are no full-time faculty because the paradigm is a modular paradigm and there's no way to keep somebody on teaching full-time in that sort of arrangement. So our school is not up to standard to what it should be to provide adequate education for our pastors. That's a constant challenge for me as a missionary, for other missionaries, and for our prayers, that God would give them the same opportunity for training that American students and pastors would have. Thirdly, we have a strong missions outreach in the Philippines, and that's why I like to point this out from the book of Acts, and also the mention of Bill Simons going to China. Now, the Philippines is one of the strongest, if not the strongest, country in Asia for sending out missionaries. And although it's just beginning, there's a great excitement and dedication to that. South Korea is another very strong mission-sending country. The two countries are probably outstanding in that aspect. And the interesting thing is that we have about five Filipino missionaries who are now working in southeastern China with the Nasu tribe, the very same place that Bill Simon started 50 years ago and had to abandon. So it wasn't God's plan, after all, that American missionaries should be the ones to evangelize that area of China, but rather Filipino missionaries, although they had to wait for some time before getting there. But that's a wonderful thing. Even though the Philippine church is still developing, it's come full circle in terms of God's plan and reached that stage of actually seeing the uttermost parts of the earth. And they're planning to send missionaries actually to Cambodia. They have interest in Taiwan, and they're cooperating with nationals in Indonesia and other Pacific countries. So God is working in a great way. And yet there is so much to be done. And that's why the Lord has chosen to keep us there in the Philippines for these years. We'd like to share that with you in another way by a PowerPoint presentation. And we've called it, as the title of my message, Strengthening God's People. We want to share with you some of the ways that God has used us. You know, now we are World Venture. We used to be CB International. And there are two primary reasons for that. One is for security in countries like China or other countries where we have missionaries whose location cannot be named and they cannot be identified with the name of an organization that sounds like a mission organization. So if it sounds like a travel agency or something like that, there's a reason for it. The other reason, of course, is that we have many churches and missionaries who are not from a Conservative Baptist background. The family of God is broader than just Conservative Baptist. And so we've chosen to have a name that is more inclusive in its identity. And I think we can appreciate that. In terms of my own ministry that the Lord has entrusted to me, there are several ways that I've been working to strengthen God's people. One is by mentoring, on the next slide, mentoring pastors from churches, especially churches in our own geographical area where we live in nearby Manila. The pictures that you see, although it's small, is our living room in the Philippines. These are local pastors who come to our home once a month, and there's about a dozen or 15 who've been regular for 8 or 10 years, and we study areas of sanctification, personal character, and pastoral ministry so that these men can have a chance to improve their education and be refreshed and renewed in ministry, because all of us need some sort of continuing education or what you might call in-service or something to help us to keep functioning and keep fresh and alive. And so that's the reason we meet. And if you'll pardon the expression, we call ourselves David's Mighty Men, because there's a story in the Old Testament in 1 Chronicles chapter 11 about David's mighty men who came together to make him strong. And so these men are not with sword and spear, but with the Word of God, trying to help them, encourage them to be stronger in their lives and their ministry in their churches. That's my favorite part of ministry, and also the most challenging for me to be able to offer them something. Another aspect on the next slide is the more foundational ministry of theological education, teaching them in our Bible college. And Martha also helps with this with a couple of courses that are specialties for her. So this is important. Everyone who has a vocation needs some training, whatever it might be. All the more pastors need a foundation of solid Bible college or seminary education if they're going to know their scriptures and their theology and lead their people and not go astray with so many aspects. So that's an important ministry. I haven't been able to do it so much lately because of my other ministry, my other full-time ministry. But this is really the nuts and bolts of ministry in the Philippines. The Filipinos are doing the work of evangelism, but they need a lot of help in training and developing their churches. Then the third area, in the next slide, is to provide books for Filipino pastors and students. And you know I've mentioned this before, and you've helped in the past. And it's getting more challenging now because I haven't found a way to ship books overseas at a reasonable cost since the post office has eliminated their surface mail. So you can pray about that. But it's still possible for me to buy books in the Philippines itself if folks like to make a donation, and then I can actually purchase them, but I don't have the same selection. So anyway, that's an ongoing need, and Filipino pastors are so excited because, as I mentioned before, they have so few books, and they don't have textbooks for their courses unless we can help them. So that's it in terms of strengthening the pastors. Then on the next slide, as your pastor mentioned, is the fact that I've been the field director, and that's a ministry of strengthening our missionaries. And that's a great honor for me to have that opportunity to work with our 30-plus missionaries to help them to have a stable life in an unstable country, to help them in their spiritual needs, and especially in areas of ministry and what their assignments should be, helping them in times of crisis, making sure that all of their government documents are kept up to date, and the many, many aspects that go with the member care of our missionaries. So thanks for praying for me about that. I feel that the Lord has given me wisdom for that, and I've appreciated that ministry. The next slide actually mentions, I believe, some of the areas, administration and member care. If you want to go to the next slide, but I won't go into detail about that this morning. And then the next thing is Martha's ministry, because she has a very unique ministry, and the next slide will show that for us. That's very different, but it's still strengthening God's people.
It's been a privilege to work at Faith Academy, both as a teacher and then in administration. And while I was there, I heard about an organization called Asia Education Resource Consortium. Now, that's a mouthful, so we call it AERC. And that organization is there to help families who are working across Asia. Many of them are working in limited access countries where they can only go in to teach English or to do community development. And then as they're there, they live out their faith, and there are sometimes opportunities, or there are always opportunities to share that with the folks there. But as Dave mentioned, we have to be very careful about being too open about what they're doing there. And so we have security concerns. But they're there in regions across Asia. And as you see on the next slide, I'll just mention briefly, most of us have been living in the States. We have no problem with educating our children. There are either schools, or if you're a homeschooler, there are many, many supports. When I homeschooled the girls while we were doing support discovery, we went to the local library. There was a co-op. We could use some of the school resources. So you see that there are, I guess we've lost it, okay, that there are many supports that you have as a homeschooler. That's not necessarily the case if you're living in a location where there's not that support. Perhaps you're in the middle of China, maybe you're in Indonesia, and great, thanks. The next slide, please. And you, not only do you not have any English-speaking library nearby, the only books you have are what you brought with you in your very limited luggage allowance, and also no training necessarily. There are some who are educators and some who are not. And that's a little bit intimidating for a parent to be responsible for their children's education without any support. And occasionally the internet service may be undependable. That depends on where you are. So what are you going to do? And a recent study showed that the children's needs was one of the primary reasons for missionaries coming back from the mission field. And this is even harder when you're in a country where there are not international schools, or very many of them, and it's very difficult to start one, and very difficult to get permission from the government. So you see on the next slide, Asia Education Resource Consortium is designed to help families, and we provide service and support. We have highly qualified consultants who live all across Asia. Next week I'm going to be in Singapore, and the reason I'm going there is for a staff meeting, and we bring in all our staff from all the different cities, which I'll show you in just a moment, across Asia, and they're there to support families. And they do home visits. Once we had a consultation with a consultant in China, a consultant in Thailand, and a family in Bangladesh. And we did it all on Skype, which is an instant messaging service, if you're familiar with that. It was wonderful what we can do. But that gave that family the help they needed so they could educate their children and stay where they are. The next slide shows that the locations, I'm not going to read them because you can all read, but we have currently 4 cities in China where we have either a resource center or a consultant, and then the other areas that are mentioned there. And having the resource center there means that parents can use books, they can get access to books. I talked to our consultant in Thailand and asked her once, how many books do you have out at any time? She said, oh, there are about 200 books out. And people can borrow those books for several months at a time and then return them to the resource center. And they don't have to purchase them, and they're able to use them. And that really helps their educational work with their children immensely. Also, there is testing that's provided so they can determine whether their children are where they should be educationally. And the consultants are just fantastic. I wish you could hear them talking with parents. As if you're a parent, you would appreciate what they would share with you about, this is where your child is. Great job. You're doing great on this. Here are some things you might try for this area. It's the best that help that they can possibly get for support. On the next slide, you see our family education conference. This particular picture is of our main conference in Chiang Mai, Thailand. And last year we had 160 adults and 200 children in our children's program. And for many of those children, this is their one opportunity in the school year that gives them the chance to be with other children who are expats and to use English exclusively. And so it's a wonderful opportunity. The parents then attend classes on homeschooling or on educational options or on family life, and they find that very helpful. Next slide, please. We have a website that we just got up and running about a year and a half ago that enables you, wherever you are, to be secure in the knowledge that what's on that site, we can talk about raising your children in a Christian home, about biblically integrating into your education for your children. And you don't have to worry about the security or someone reading your email. Next slide, please. We're there to help families. I want to tell you one very quick story. A mother came up to me after one of our conferences in Beijing, and she said to me, you know, I really wanted to be where, now we're in the middle of Beijing, so she used the term dad, which means our Heavenly Father. She said, I really wanted to be where dad had called me to be. But I was looking at educating my children, and I just was feeling, I can't do this. I can't do this. And coming to this conference and having the help of the consultants, I can do that. I can stay here now. And, of course, that's what we're there for, to enable families to be where God has called them to be and to build into their family life and into their educational life what they need to be the people that God meant them to be. And that's a thrill. Thank you for your support on that. Now, the next slide just shows some of our ministry in the local church. We're very involved and active in that. We had an evangelistic concert with the group that I'm in just before we came back to the States in June. And about 300 people attended. I know a number accepted Christ as their Savior. And Dave has also been an encouragement to our pastor there. The next slide shows other people. Ask us about them afterwards. The one couple up in the left is a couple that Dave discipled, that young man, led him to the Lord, discipled him, and he's extremely active in our local church now. So we're excited about that and other ministries there you see. Now, the next slide shows what are ways that you can be involved. And the first way, if we can put that up, is to come to the mission field. Dave mentioned you're never too old to do that. And there are a lot of ways you can come over and serve. I know some of you are, and that's so encouraging to hear that. So talk to us about ways you could come to Asia. Secondly, if I can talk about this one, come to Thailand to help with the Family Education Conference. We have 200 children. We have a limited number of consultants. We've had short-term groups that come over and help us, and it is fantastic because for 3 intense days, you're with those kids and helping them to have a program that is meaningful and that just encourages them. So if you're interested in that, talk to me about it, and maybe you'd even like to send a team over to Thailand for that program. It'd be great. Dave's going to come and tell you about a couple of other ways that you can be involved.
Thank you, Martha. She does a great job. She's working full-time in her ministry even while we're back here in New Hampshire. And that's a special prayer request for her for the conference that's upcoming. The time is getting short for her. And then, of course, in the next slide mentions about our support. We need to have 100% support in going back. And we just thank you again for the great way that you have blessed us in that way. I think we may went by it, but that's okay. You can just leave it where it is. So just pray with us for that. I'm sure the Lord is going to send it in, and we're not overly concerned. And then finally, it's always a prayer request that the Lord would just give us strength for the battles of missionary life. Sometimes it's a little hard to go back. Not that we don't like the country or the people, but it's just like going back to the battlefield again. It's a spiritual battlefield. The country itself is very hot. The weather here is very comfortable compared to the Philippines. It's rainy season, and it's in the 90s there. And it's anyway, just for physical strength and stamina, but especially for fruit that remains as we work with the church and with the seminary and with our missionaries. It's not just to serve the Lord, but to do what he's called us to do so that there is fruit that remains. And I just want to, in closing, encourage you as a church in the value of your investment in the Philippines, because the Great Commission is really given to you, and we're just your hands and feet. And so what you're doing in the Philippines through our feeble efforts is very valuable, and I want you to be encouraged. And your prayers, if I only had time, I could tell you so many stories of how God has answered prayer, probably because you've prayed. Prayers for safety, for health, and for spiritual strength. So in the words that Jesus gave in the book of Revelation to one of the churches, strengthen the things that remain. Strengthen the things that remain. And you know the things that remain for you as a church. And included in that is to strengthen your brothers. And that includes your missionaries in the Philippines. once again, thank you, and God bless you, and we look forward to visiting with you following the service.